why don't you start, Jolene?
Well, I'm Jolene.
I'm Jason.
And this is the Integrateness Podcast, your next favorite episode.
Woohoo!
This feels awkward.
It's different. But it's okay.
Let's restart.
You want to restart?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Although I'm not going to edit any of that out.
No, just so you're please aware. Don't. Okay, everyone. Rewind.
Welcome back to your next favorite episode of the Integrateness Podcast with Jason and Jolene. I'm Jason.
That was so much better. I am not meant to introduce us, folks. Can we all agree? Can we have a vote? Can we have a vote here? I'm Jolene.
So then what are we talking about this week, Jolene?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm quite content with you introducing our episodes.
Oh my God, that was so perfect then.
Wasn't it?
That was good.
Yeah. All right, contentment, folks. We are talking about contentment. So, you know, this topic has actually come up quite a bit in my office. Jason and I, when we were kind of throwing ideas around of what we wanted to talk about, it's the idea of like chasing happiness, right? And we've had an episode on happiness, and I know we've talked about contentment there, but it needs its own time and space here because this is often something we are chasing and seeking and feeling disappointment from. But I actually think that the target is off. So people are chasing this feeling of happiness, but I'll ask them, like, what is happiness to you? And what they describe isn't the exciting, elevated happiness that we think of when you're celebrating a birthday or seeing a really good friend or going on a vacation. It is actually happiness of satisfaction and being content. And when you look up the definition of contentment, it actually says quiet happiness and satisfaction. And it's actually a more neutralized place of existence.
I like that. And I think because in our society, we're sold in our society, and it comes from movies and Harlequin romance books and all that, everything, you should feel this intense happiness and joy all the time, mm-hmm. right? But you can't. How could you survive feeling that, right? But then people get super bummed out when they don't feel that. They think they should feel up. That's why people, I think, take drugs, or they drink alcohol, or they bounce from relationship to relationship. They're chasing that dopamine high, for lack of a better word, and want a constant dopamine high. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just what it feels like people want.
Yeah, and when we look at the complications of dopamine highs nowadays, like generations that are getting a lot of stimuli through phones and YouTube, like YouTube will often have dual screens you're paying attention to. All those things are wiring our brains for lots of stimulation that is more than our nervous system can handle. All of the information that comes in from social media would be like actually walking into 457 rooms and looking at 7,068 people in like a 5-minute span that you're scrolling. Our brain is just like consuming large amounts of all of this stimuli, which then creates dopamine rushes as well. So yeah, we are seeking something that we're now hardwired for at a higher level, which is wild, and unable to sit in that neutral space of like a baseline. Like, what is baseline contentment, right?
Yeah, and I think here's an example. 2 days before we recorded this episode, I was on a film set. I can't say which one because it was, I had to sign an NDA. And because it's a big production that they didn't want anyone to know about.
You guys, Jason's a big deal.
they took away our phones. You were not allowed to have your phone because they didn't want anybody taking pictures or posting or anything, which makes perfect sense. You could bring it, and if you're in like the Wrangler tent, you could have it, and then you had to put it in a bag and give it to the people when you went on set. But I just didn't bring it for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And it was like, not only was the experience awesome, but I was almost like content for the 2 days just sitting, hanging out, chatting to whoever was there. And I'm not always a social person, but there's someone there that I hadn't met. So we just got bullshitting about stuff, you know, made a couple new friends. But it was like the best experience because I wasn't bombarded by stimuli the whole time. And I was completely content.
Yeah, and distractions, right? Yeah. So not always distractions of like, oh, my notifications are going off or this or that. But usually while we're in a place of sitting and waiting, we think, oh, I can multitask. I can do this, this, and this. Especially if it's available at our fingertips. You might check an email. You might send a message to Jess. You might pay your hydro bill, whatever. But you're like, while I'm sitting here, I may as well do this. That's why I love to go camping. And my mom would always say, like, why are you doing all this work just to go camping for a week? I said, because when my kids go to bed, I can't do laundry, clean the kitchen, do all this. I literally have to sit and fire gaze because there's nothing else to fucking do.
And isn't that the best thing in the world?
Is what I want, yeah. Right? So that sense of distraction, right? So it's really interesting when you look at what, like, a simple observation here. Like, I love that you just gave that example. So if you're driving downtown, Okay. Typically there's people on Main Street and they're waiting at the crosswalks. How many of those people actually just stand there and wait now?
Though they never do.
They don't. They've grabbed their phones and you can see there's nothing on their phone, but they'll open an app and scroll because it's so uncomfortable to sit there for the 35 seconds before that Walkman comes on the little light thing.
And the grocery store waiting to in check the your bags, movie theater lineups, restaurant waiting for the waiter to come. There's whole families that won't sit and interact with each other. They're all open up their phones and do that. So yeah, which just gets us on a whole other topic we could talk about one day. Yeah. But we talked a bit about digital Sabbath and stuff. But that lack of wanting to be with yourself.
And lack of contentment in that moment of just waiting 30 seconds for the light to change
green. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying that for 30 seconds? Just enjoy it. Watch some people go by. Just chill.
And it's honestly, we have become so socially anxious in those situations now.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that wild? When we look at social anxiety and anxiety as a whole, it has gotten way worse simply because a lot of people haven't learned or how to tolerate just standing at a streetlight.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And you can see it generationally, like people sort of from my generation, so people in their 50s, are way better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we grew up in an era, same with yourself, in an era where there was no internet, no phones, nothing like that. I worry for like my kids' generation. My son had a whole Saturday. Like it's a day, we call it Do Anything Day in the house. We can all do whatever we want. Because he's of that age, he likes to play online video games with his friends and stuff like that. But he just, for some reason, sat and watched YouTube all day. And we didn't say anything. That's how you spend your day. He was so bummed out that he didn't play video games with his friends or whatever, or do something else. But it's like, but you did that. That's what you wanted to do, right? He's like, yeah. And I said, then why are you upset? Well, because I didn't do this. I said, well, you had a choice and how you spend your time. So either be content with the day you had, or you can sit there and be pissed off about what you didn't do. Like, you got to learn to just accept your choice that you've made and be okay with that.
But here's the question, because that YouTube is like a drug, right?
Oh, it's a horrible drug. We talked about that, right?
Dopamine-wise, right? Because dopamine is the addictive property in things like cocaine and more addictive substances. So that's what's like ding, 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 ding. And that's what process addictions are. Is there, you know, gambling, porn, any of shopping addictions, they get that dopamine.
I get dopamine hits off of achieving things. But I think I'm a bit of a dopamine addict just on doing stuff.
For him, did he really have a choice to choose the YouTube, or did the YouTube get him?
And I think that was his
anger with himself. Is like, I couldn't pull myself away. And what a powerful like representation of all of that, right?
It's crazy, right? But that's what his generation's going to be struggling with.
Yeah, for sure. So with contentment, if you were to look at like, in general, your mood, we can look at mood, you know, where do you feel that sense of contentment? And if you were to ask yourself, like, what's my happiness rating? And am I misusing that word happiness, right? Should I be using the word content or satisfied? I constantly get people to reflect on this in therapy, and suddenly their 4 out of 10 mood rating becomes an 8 out of 10, because they're like, well, I am actually content with everything and I am satisfied with it. And these are the slight changes I'd make. But am I ecstatic and happy and excited? No. And that's not a sustainable state of being.
You can't.
It's not.
It's impossible.
It's not, you know. And I mean, yes, your nervous system can be ecstatic and, and, you know, revved up at the highest levels. But like at an actual like mood and practical level, it's impossible. Unless, I suppose, you live in Disneyland all the time. I don't know.
And then would you then be that happy in Disneyland all the time? Or you'd be like, I gotta get the fuck out of here because I can't take this anymore.
Or would you become so normalized to it, and it's the idea of exposure that you would actually now, that would be your baseline of contentment, and it would take more to excite you because Disneyland became the basis. And actually, it's really cool because one of the kids on my son's hockey team, his mom was talking to me. She does travel stuff, and their family often gets like funded trips, like big deal things, like private jets and like big deal things. And she goes, and I said, what a cool opportunity for your kids. She goes, yeah, but it's ruined them because they think this is what vacation is, and it's not. It's an exceptional experience based on what I do and what I'm required to do while I'm on these trips. So my kids don't know what a normal vacation is.
That's crazy. But it does make sense, right? It's like the people, like rich kid syndrome.
Yeah.
like, they're not actually trying to be conceited assholes.
They just, that's all they know.
That's all they know. That's all they've seen, right? Yes. And so they don't understand what it's like just to be an average blue-collar kid.
Totally.
And we swap those experiences over, and these things seem, they seem out of sorts.
Yeah. And there's some, I mean, I don't want to say that for everyone. There's some who come down to a more grounded level and things like that. But often, you know, what we are exposed to becomes our baseline, whether that's trauma, lack and poverty, whether it's excessiveness or luxury, right? Like that is where our baseline is formed.
We're products of our, the whole nature nurture thing. But a big part of it is with our how we're nurtured, our environment that we're in. And so that's why I guess people who grew up in an abusive household, that can become generational abuse because they don't know any different. That's how love is shown, right? And so even though you would ask them, well, are you really content or happy? They might have a completely different answer. They don't even probably know where to come at that from, right?
This is where the concept of familiarity comes in.
Yeah.
That's a weird word for me to roll off the tongue. Like tough-a-fe-fe.
Which I hate all of, by the way.
So, and I love for all of you who follow us regularly, I hope you laugh in those moments because like they go back to funnier previous episodes. They do. It's like there's always something worth throwing back.
Little in-jokes and Easter eggs, gosh, right?
Right? Yeah. So that comes up a lot in my office around like what's familiar isn't always the thing that nourishes us and provides us with happiness, but we become content with it because it's familiar. It's normalized for us, right? So really looking at that in your life, you know, job satisfaction wise, right? Like this is a huge one when we look at like, how happy am I doing my job and stuff and how this, how that, how content am I? You know, like where, and again, contentment, if you're not really sure how to identify with that word, you can also double check sort of the opposite of it, which I'm thinking would be resentment. Mm-hmm. And you can be like, what is my resentment scale here? Like, oh, fuck, it's a 7 out of 10. Okay, so then maybe. my contentment is like a 3 out of 10, right? Maybe I'm okay with 3%, like 30% of it, but not 70 if I'm resenting the other part. We don't know. But like, if you're not quite sure how to identify with content, maybe look at the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Like, for you, Jason, if you were to look at the areas you're content with in your life, which ones really stand out for you?
Well, I'd say like marriage.
Yep.
Right. And I had a talk with another friend of mine, a female friend of mine and I about that. Because there's always this idea that you should be, you know, like the first stage is like you and Kevin. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of happiness and contentment and excitement. But when you're long term, like my wife and I are going to be 16, 17 years in.
Yep.
So it's different.
Yeah.
And you stop and you're like, well, fuck, it's not the same. Am I as happy as I was? I don't think I am. But it's like, but how content are you? Like, oh, an 8.
Satisfied.
7, how satisfied? 7, 8 out of 10, like almost every day. Like, is everything perfect? No. But where's the resentment level at? 1 or 2, depending on the day and what we're doing?
Totally.
And that's how you got to learn how to measure that. I think, yeah. In our situation. So that's an area of contentment where there's high contentment.
Right. So right there, if I were to say like, what's the happiness rating in your marriage, Jason?
Oh, 5, right? 6. You know
so
what I mean?
So different. What are we measuring against? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. That's perfect. So marriage is
a high level of contentment for me, right?
Where else for you?
Career wise, it's pretty high up there too. Yeah. 7 or 8, right? And even could be a 9 some days, depending what I'm doing.
And for a lot of people, we've talked about this too, because Jason and I are both self-employed. We get to call the shots for the most part in our jobs. If anything, the thing we struggle with the most is the demand of us and having to boundary that. And when you are self-employed, it's like this delicate balance of how much do you reject and how much do you take on, right? Because you do have total control over all of that, right? So if you were to look at now contentment being linked, and I'm going to link things for all you guys because I think there's so many factors that affect how content we can be. I think free will and choice become big levels. So am I forced to do this job? Am I stuck here? Am I a slave to this? Do I feel like I have no other choices? Again, this can be work, relationship, you name it. Parenting, okay?
Yep.
Can be lots of different things. Friendships. That's where that resentment piece comes in, is how free will, like how much free will do I have here? And I think in our lines of work, we both feel like we got a shitload of free will.
A ton. It's all based on free will. We can be as busy or not busy as we want, as long as I guess we're financially stable enough.
Yeah. And I guess our satisfaction and level of contentment also is reflected on how much control do I have over the situation? Yeah. So when we look at internal and external locus of control, which are psychology terms of like, essentially like, where the root cause is and where the root solution is, we have internal locus of control in terms of like, we get to be the ones controlling that. If we overscheduled ourselves, it's fucking tough beans. It's on us. Yeah. And then if it's external factors of like, you know, I'm not getting the job offers or the clients or the this or that, then that becomes less content, less satisfied.
We
you
need
know?
To then take more proactive action and treat it like, I guess, a job that we would have being employed by someone else.
Totally. And I think that's where, you know, I've been really open about like my co-parenting, coexisting role, I should say. I'm not really sure where the other parent is. But that is a piece where some of that like external locus of control influences me and my lack of satisfaction or contentment in some of those areas of my life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not totally within my control, right? So being able to look at some of these pieces in terms of what influences how content you can be, right? And when we bump to the top of that scale and we move into more excited, free will, inspired, like passionate areas of those areas of our life, and then when we dip down into the other ones, which are more resentment or disappointment, expectations are often linked there, right? And when we have expectations, they often lead to disappointments, right? So it's this delicate balance of, you know, if we have, like, I'm looking at almost like a graph in my head and there's this mid-range that is that baseline area that we can kind of ebb and flow in for contentment. If we're bouncing in and out of those, it's about, okay, well, what's impacting that? What is impacting? Because we can bounce on the top level of it getting really excited when really cool shit happens from the outside.
Yeah.
We win the lottery, right? Like, just wait, because when that happens to me, you'll be like, holy shit, Jolene's more than content. Yeah. She's fucking living the dream, right?
She's driving by in her Humvee fingering everybody as she goes past. Like, what the hell?
Oh my God, that's funny. So, you know, you can have lots of things happen externally that will like bump you into that range just as you can externally too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I want you guys to all think about that for yourself. When we say the word content, when we say the word satisfied, when we say the word happiness, what do all of those mean to you? And which one have you been linking with the most?
Yeah,
right?
What have you made the priority? And then look at that one and see how where you're sitting in that.
Yeah.
Right?
And for me, like when I say those three words, happiness kind of gives me like a weird, it feels fake.
Yeah.
In a sense. And I mean, I have no problems with happiness, but I also like, honestly, like I tell my clients this, like, I don't know what you think real life is, but like I've cried three times already and it's only like 9:15 in the morning and I'm not sure I've hit a happiness peak yet today, right? Like this is real life. Like you are not guaranteed to wake up that way. You can do things that will influence it. But like when that's our goalpost and we continually hit through the day and we're satisfied instead of like happy and excited, we are continually disappointing ourselves, right?
Yeah, no, which almost... you feel like you're shortchanging yourself because you're denying yourself so much more satisfaction
in
life.
Yeah, and if you were to think about happiness as on your 8-hour shift at work, happiness is the 2 hours of overtime you get. That's a bonus. But did you get the 8 hours of work? Yeah, that is a day of contentment and satisfaction. When I say contentment, there's a part of me that just goes like, wah, wah, because I actually feel like it's settling. There's a settling energy in there. So I love the word satisfaction because I think about if I'm eating dinner, how satisfied do I feel? How nourished, how satiated do I feel? I'm done eating. If we know me and mini eggs, I am not done eating.
There's no such thing as done eating the
never content, never. So looking at that piece of it of like, how satisfied am I? That word feels better for me as my goalpost.
Yeah, which is good. I think, because contentment does sound like settling.
A little bit.
A little bit. But I'm also very content with use of the word content.
Yeah.
Because it does sum up very nicely. And content and satisfied to me pretty much are the same.
Peaceful, yeah.
They're peaceful. They're good. Yeah. It's a good place to be.
So one of the things I'll do to take that a little bit further for myself, and this is where we can really, it's a game of semantics sometimes because we can kind of fuck with ourselves in terms of how we're perceiving situations. And we are like master manipulators at our own reality. Everybody please be honest with yourself, right? Like we all have a victimization wound. We all have a wound where like, you know, all of our I'm not enough or like they're the problem. They're always acting up in us. You know, it's about how active we are at managing them, right? So there's parts of us, like I will say to myself, how satisfied was I with my day? Well, it was the shits.
And you should be right? honest, right? If they had totally. A shit day, it's
so
a shit
for
day.
Example, you know, we had to put my dog down, and that was a hideously emotional day. How satisfied was I with the day? That's a hard question. How content was I with the day? That's a hard question. But where I can take that deeper is how satisfied am I with my reaction and my response to the day? And I love that I openly grieved hard with my kids and that I was supported by my mom and her partner when we were there, that the vet was so accessible, that my dog is at peace. Like there were so many pieces of that that I could then take a step further and go, how satisfied was I in how the day was handled? How the events of the day were handled, and then what that meant for everyone else, like taking home.
Yes.
Right?
And that's such a good way to be able to be in a position where you can look at it that way.
Yeah, if you ask me how my day was, it was fucking horrid. Yeah. And it might have been one of the worst days of my children's lives. And it was so emotional and so heavy. And then the next day, like it was our Billet's birthday that day too. So I was like, I don't want to ruin his birthday
right?
with like this experience. But so then we also celebrated his birthday, and then the next day was my twins' birthday, so they stayed home from school to grieve, but then also got to go to the toy store to spend their birthday money. And it was this collaboration of I'm so terribly sad and pained, but I'm also happy about life at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad they got to experience the two feelings that adults nowadays have a really hard time experiencing in grief, is the co-occurrence of a positive and a negative feeling in grief at the same time. And I told my kids multiple times, like, yes, you are sad because Nikki is gone, and you're also excited that it's your birthday, and that's okay.
Yeah, that, and that's, oh God, there's such a stigma about that. No, you should feel like shit for days. When
and that's
like
what
that
they
happens,
felt like,
right?
Because I see people go through this in my office. I feel guilty for this or that. And I'm also resentment that I'm sad that this, like even my daughter said, why did this have to happen before our birthday?
Right?
It I don't want it to ruin my day. And I said, absolutely. You are allowed to feel that way. So what can we do to hold space for both? And like, that is going to transform their grief journey moving forward in life.
Oh, way probably better than we have had our opportunities.
So for me,
that.
Like being a grief and trauma counselor, that was so exciting for me to walk my kids through the exact way I tell people to walk through grief. I got to teach them how to do that. And it was so fucking painful and it was so hard and we were exhausted. But then it was also this like, okay, and now life goes on as well. But I actually think we immersed ourselves so deep that day that it was okay to keep moving on. And I don't think we bypassed it. I think we managed 80% of the wound. And now every day we still cry or we look at her food dish or whatever and we miss her. But that deep, deep, deep experience that day resolved so much of what could have lingered. So when I go back, I had a fucking horrid day. But was I satisfied with it? Absolutely, in every possible way. Isn't that wild?
No, but that's the way to be. Like, I think of the day that my cousin Cindy died. She had brain cancer, and it finally just took her after fighting it for 5 years. So, found out, went up to my Uncle Warren's. That's the dad, right? And so, the whole family gathered, which is one of the rarest times we all got together in town. Like, this doesn't happen. We're hanging out, and I remember we spent the day together, and, you know, like you say, grieving together in our Hewlett way kind of thing. And at the end, like, I'm sitting there with my uncle and, like, his ex-wife, like, my cousin Cindy's mom was there, and they'd split up years ago, and it wasn't good, but she was there. And they could hang out. We're all having a whiskey, and the guys are having a cigar and everything. And Warren goes, you know what? In the end, it's still not that bad a day.
Ah, yes.
Because everyone was there. Like, he'd be able to heal the wound with his ex-wife. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, but that, to be able to look at that on the day that your daughter died of a disease, the whole family fought with her for like years.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And that makes me think of my daughter. Like, I have one daughter. Actually, both my daughters will often go to this all or nothing place where like, it is literally 4 minutes to bedtime. They're toast. It's been a day. Like, I mean, like cool days too. Days when we went to Fun Factor or like the Storm Game or things like that. And all of a sudden, one little thing will tweak right before bedtime. That's it. This is the worst day ever. I hate this day. Why do I always have the worst day? And it's so black and white for them. Yeah. And then like in those moments, I'm like, just go to bed. Tomorrow is a new day. But there is like this weird rationing that they are trying to do at that part of the night. And they are convinced it was the worst day. And it's really interesting. So it's about really trying to expand in those moments of like, yes, this thing happened. And you also have had good experiences here, here, and here, right? But yeah, it's very interesting to see that. And I think when I can see that in a 7-year-old, I can also see why the 45-year-olds sitting in my office are like, I'm just so fucking unhappy.
Right.
And I'm like, well, okay.
What are you focusing on?
Yeah.
Here?
And one of my favorite things to do, and I feel like we referenced this in a previous episode, but I'm going to hit it again. I will get them to rate like life satisfaction. What is it? Oh, it's a 4 out of 10. Okay. How satisfied are you with work? 6 out of 10. How satisfied are you with finances? 6 out of 10. They tend to go hand in hand or whatever, right? Relationship and family, friends, extracurricular, your body and health. Okay. Whatever. So I'll get them to go through a list of things. Then I'll count how many categories there are and I find the average of it. And often the average is like a 7 out of 10, mm-hmm. but their overall first initial satisfaction of life was 4 out of 10. It's perception. Yep. So much of it is that this is the worst fucking day ever.
Perception is everything,
it
right?
Is.
It affects how you see the world outside. It affects how you feel inside.
Totally. And when we put filters on our damn photos, right? Because we hate how we perceive them, we're already messing with our reality. We're gaslighting the shit out of ourselves.
Right?
Like Jason and I, we got wrinkles on our old ugly mugs. Mm-hmm. We don't edit the photos we put up, guys.
No, they just go
he
up.
He puts me and all my chins up and he's like, hey, Jolene and I are laughing about this episode. And I'm like, God, you picked that one? But that's okay, because we grew up in the era of like 24-hour Polaroid
picture,
photos,
right?
Of like, yep, somebody at Walmart put that in an envelope. Yikes, right?
I had, on that film shoot, it was funny, standing around waiting, and of course we're supposed to all look like these haggard construction yep. worker guys. And I was feeling like rough, because it was early morning and all yep. that, and I'm standing there, and this like beautiful Australian woman comes up from the makeup department, and she's put some pomade in her hand, and she's like, you're much too handsome to be in the post-apocalypse. And she just tousles my hair and makes it look like that and walked away. I looked at my buddy James and he just kind of went like, Hollywood. But it was like, we also think we've got too many chins and
totally.
The wrinkles are up. It's how you, we don't see how other people see us.
Totally. It's
and
so true.
Being open-minded about
yeah.
that. Not being our worst critic.
Yeah, and that's funny because often, actually, one of the things I'm not used to getting my photo taken, which is funny, right? I'm used to seeing myself on the computer screen through telehealth work and all mm-hmm. of that now, which was a big trip at the beginning of COVID. But that's something that Kevin will do is he takes photos of me when I least expect it.
I've seen some of them.
And
he does a really good job.
He really does. And he captures the part of me that I'm like, whoa, look at what you see. And then he blows them up and puts them on his wall.
Is he really?
Oh my God, you didn't hear that story?
No.
Oh, it's so funny. So there's a post on my business page and it's literally, he bought me this poetry book about, and it's actually called Chapstick, which is funny because that's like totally from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
But it's about kind of being your own hype girl and this and that and, you know, always believing in yourself. But sometimes you just need to be, you know, treated like art on somebody's bedroom wall and mm-hmm. somebody sees what, you know, sees in you what you haven't seen in yourself yet kind of thing. So it's this beautiful poem and I happened to be reading it and I was like, oh my gosh. And then, like, literally within days or something, Kevin, like, shows me this giant picture that mm-hmm. he blew up on, like, it's like an acrylic instead of a canvas or something. Anyways, I was like, oh, my God, it's huge. And he's, like, 6'2" or 6'3" or something, and he's holding it, and it's, like, his whole body.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God, why is it so big? And he's like, well, I didn't know it was that big. But, yeah, there's this giant picture of Jolene in his bedroom now, right? And I'm literally art on his bedroom wall.
There you go.
But it is one of the favorite pictures that he took of me, and it's very candid. I'm just laughing, and I'm, like, out by the water, and that's the thing, right? Like, we don't get to see ourselves in the way other people see us, right? And
yeah.
even our photo shoot that we just did.
Yeah.
Right? So many of my favorite ones are going to be the candid ones.
The other
right?
ones where she just took pictures.
Oh,
we
totally.
Didn't even know we knew she was here taking pictures, but we just weren't paying attention.
And we're just laughing. All my chins are hanging out.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's right. So, again, how satisfied are you with that? How content are you with that, right? Like,
yeah.
anytime we're critiquing ourselves, our process, our character, our identity, any of these things, right? Like, how truly content are you with it? How satisfied with it? And then, like, what is that, like, excitement and happiness rating that you might be chasing and actually sabotaging yourself with?
Yeah, by having almost, like, a too high expectation of what it
yeah.
should be. Because you were told it should be here.
Yeah.
But where are you satisfied or content with it actually being?
Yeah. Like, I tell people all the time, like, you know, the majority of life is the mess. It's not the plated meal that you get at the last 10% sitting down. It is like the shopping, the preparation of it, the cooking of it, the dirty dishes, all the mess in the kitchen. Like, that's life.
Yeah.
That is life. And so, not the plated food at the end.
So get used to the shit of the day to day.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
And consider that the 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
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 We're going to leave you with that thought.
Yeah. So just be satisfied and content with this shit. Don't expect more from us because that's like the overtime to your 8-hour work
day. Yeah. And we ain't fucking doing it.
Shaniqua ain't doing it. She don't even got your ass.
She just like saying, fuck y'all. So until next week, when we come at you with your next favorite episode, I'm Jason.
I'm Jolene.
Be happy with your satisfaction.
And contentment.
In life.
Ciao.
Ciao.